remember, there are growth points to identify. What's the growth point in your life for this year? What are some of the areas that might be, some might be very glaring, some might be subtle, but you've got to identify the growth points. Well, I'm not very patient. There's a growth point. Well, I don't read the Bible. That's a growth point. Well, I get mad at people pretty easily. That's a growth point. What are some others that you can identify? Because if you don't identify them, you won't know what to do. You won't hear the Holy Spirit instructing you.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. God has designed each of us with a purpose and the potential to become the person He created us to be, but we must embrace His plan and develop a character after His design. Needless to say, there is some growth that will need to take place, in fact, a whole lot of growth. Here's a message entitled, The Circle Around You.
Well, I want to welcome you to this mini-series called Circles, and today we want to talk about the circle around you. But first, you know, I just got over the influenza A. Oh, that's terrible stuff. So it took me about a week to get over the flu, but I mean, just barely now getting over the cough. That just lingered for about a month. So, you know, I've been looking at some of the plagues and sicknesses that seem to be increasing in these last days. And you know what I found out, and it's been reported, and it's still true today, that the main carriers of AIDS were senior citizens. That's right, senior citizens. Hearing aids, Rolaids, Band-Aids, Medicaids. Just seeing if you're awake. A young energetic college student that had a complaint about everything came to this old pastor and said, you know, I'm just sick and tired of Christians. They're not worried about greenhouse gases enough, fossil fuels, temperature, immigration. The church needs a revival. And, you know, he was just complaining. A lot of times we talk about praying, but really we're just griping in God's name. And as the pastor was listening to this kid just gripe and gripe and gripe, the church needs a revival. Man, they're just too lazy. They're just sluggards. And as he was talking, the pastor reached behind him, got a piece of chalk off the chalkboard, and started to draw a circle around this young man as he was griping. And the young man's griping and complaining, says, "Well, what are you doing?" The pastor said, "When revival starts inside of that circle, it'll start out here. And not until." The circle around you. I want to talk a little bit about that and how important it is. And over the next two weekends, we'll be speaking about that. But today, one of the most important circles is the circle around you. I'll have 2 points today. One of the points we're really good at. The other, we're really bad at. And we'll see if you can tell which one is which. You know, I was reading in the Bible and talking about how God created us, the one within that circle. What's His plan for the one within this circle? Because before we look out here, we need to look inside the circle and see if we're doing what we're supposed to do. And I looked at the Bible in the book of Hebrews. There was a quizzical question, or rather a verse that brought me question. And it says this. It says, God's works were finished before the foundation of the world. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. How can something be finished before it's created? You got to create it and then it's finished. No. God, though, His works were finished before He created. And I was scratching my head thinking, God, what is this? When He said, just look around and see, the answer is everywhere. And I thought, oh, I'm starting to get it. You know, if you take a look at a beautiful edifice or a skyscraper, it didn't start there. No, it started in someone's imagination. It started in an architect's design room where they designed this building, even this gymnasium here. They designed it to such a precise, exact likeness that they could actually draw a picture of this place with measurements before it was ever standing. It started in someone's imagination. Isn't that right? And then it was built. Same thing with an automobile. You look at an automotive design center, there's a designer that designs the most beautiful car he can imagine. And in that image, he has it down so much that he can actually draw a plan of that car, a picture of that design. It's beautiful aerodynamic shape. Once it's done and it's just a beautiful car, then they build the assembly line, the presses, the interior design, the leathers, all of the stuff that's going to go into the interior. They don't actually even build the assembly line presses until they have the design done. And then finally, when that car, boop, out on the showroom, it didn't start in the showroom. It ended up in the showroom. It was finished before it was even created. That beautiful car, all these beautiful new cars, except for the Cybertruck. That is the ugliest thing I've you might like it, but that thing is so ugly. Anyway, I think that's a mistake in the design room. They just went with it, you know? But it starts here in the design room. Now listen carefully. In the divine design room of God, he designed you. He designed your future. He thought up everything he can, designed your the most preferred future to the point where he could even draw a plan for you. And he did, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. Do you know that God planned you out stem to stern, bumper to bumper? And then once he looked at you and said, this will be really nice. And watch this. He took that beautiful plan of you before you were even born. He took that plan and he crushed it. And he put it into a seed. And that seed was then, when you were conceived, was planted in you. And now you have all of the potentiality of his design in potential form, in latent form. And you know how at Christmas, you'll open up a box that's a toy or something, and it says some assembly required. When you were born, it's like a ton of assembly required. Because you have to assemble that potential. Everything that God wanted for you is there in potential form. And he wanted you to attain that so much that he gave us an instruction manual. Not only that, he put his spirit within you to guide you through the instruction manuals, like YouTube instructional videos. The Holy Spirit is kind of guiding you, ushering you, prompting you. Not only that, in the fullness of time, God sent his son Jesus to be born in Bethlehem so that we will actually have an example and a pattern of someone who lived that life. You understand how much God has invested in us to become the people that he planned for us to be, and he created us in his image. But it's in potential form. Now here's the tricky part. When he put that into a seed, which is now in you, the potential is in you, here's what he inserted. And I guess it's a blessing, but it could be a curse. He actually put into that, as an ingredient, volition or choice. Because you see, God didn't want to take out choice so you and I become a mechanized robot that does exactly what he asks us to do. He put volition or choice in there that you can choose to or not to do what he has designed us to be. I can reject it, ignore it, I can kick it aside, or I can accept it and follow that choice. Because see, God wanted not necessarily a machine. He wanted a love relationship with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he wants a relationship that with matters of the heart included. Because you see, you can't have love if there's no choice. You love me or I kill you. Okay, I love you. No, it might be duty or out of fear, but it's not love. Love requires a choice because it's a matter of the heart, not a matter of the head. And so God risked it, folks, and put choice in there. And then he said, Holy Spirit, would you help them to steward that choice well? Because that is a sacred gift to you. Steward it well. And if we do, the Bible says, like David is a man after my own heart. Oh, God is so pleased when he sees the heart of his people. And so God gave us volition. He says, now follow me, follow my word, because there's going to be a lot to do. And you'll have to develop and invest in that potential to see it come to pass. Otherwise, it'll stay stagnant and you'll quit growing. But the circle around you is so important that if you get that right, everything else falls in line. And I'm going to help you as much as I can. Philippians 2:13 tells us the intentionality of God. Let's read it together. And it's going to be the same verse, but it's in two different versions so that you can get a better context to it. Would you read this first one? Go. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Did you know that God says, I'm going to help you personally because I love you that much and I want my plans to come to pass. That's how intentional I want to be. And let's read it in the New Living Testament. Go. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Isn't that great? So I tell you, in the end, all you got is what's inside of you, what you invested in. It's not what you did out there. You won't have your achievements, your money, your looks, your reputation, your stature. It's you. That's why I tell the students, I said, if you don't invest in your character and your morals and wisdom or discernment, if you don't work on your perspective and your attitude, your disposition, in the end, all you got is you. And your future is not what lies ahead of you. Your future is what lies within you. And if you didn't invest in your soul, your character, if you didn't invest in your inner man, if you didn't invest in your maturity, your patience, if you didn't invest in that, you will be bankrupt. And did you know that Satan actually collates all those weak points where you've not invested in? Because that's where he's going to tempt you. That's what the Bible says, a breach in the wall. There's a weak point. And the enemy knows where that is. He calculates that. And when you get towards that point, that's where he hits you. If you recall, even in Luke 4, when Jesus was tempted on the Mount of Temptation, after he had fasted for 40 days and became, do you remember the next word? Hungry. The devil appeared to him. He'll wait until you're hungry. Hungry for something, maybe not right. Or maybe you're just depleted or fatigued. And then that's where he enters. So that's why it's so important for us to invest in the potential that God has given to us. And his Holy Spirit's going to help you so much. Because in the end, it's all you got. It's you and Jesus. And if we're bankrupt in character, our morals, our insight is flat, that's where you'll get tempted. You know, I preach the word, the Bible, all over the world. Preach the gospel in Nepal and Burma, which is now Myanmar, Taiwan or Australia, Japan, Philippines. But you know, the toughest time for me to preach the gospel, the toughest place of all is not Burma. It's not Japan. It's not the Philippines. The hardest, toughest place for me to preach the gospel is to preach the gospel to myself. You see, I can preach it to everybody else. But when you're mad and you preach the gospel to yourself, Wayne, be patient. It's like, shut up. Wayne, don't die on that hill. I'll die on whatever hill I want to die on. It's like, I can't even preach the gospel to myself because I reject it. And how can I preach the gospel to other people if I can't even accept it myself? That's the toughest place to preach the gospel. It's in your own hometown, right here within your circle. But once you get that right, everything starts to fall in line. I mean, your family, your future, your friendships, everything. Everything. And the more you understand, the more you become like Christ. And the best place to get instruction is right here, folks. It's the B-I-B-L-E. That's a book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Thank you very much. That was my solo for today. The Bible. He said, but I don't understand. I don't understand all of it either. I just came through the book of Judges, and the last two chapters of Judges is the weirdest two chapters I have ever read. Barbaric. There's a guy that dismembers his wife just to make a statement. I thought, that's terrible. I thought, man, that's crazy. But then if you think about the criminals and, you know, the gang members, M13 and things that are going on in our country, you think, yeah, we're just like that. But the last verse of the book of Judges, I understood. You know what it says? In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. I thought, that's like us. Everybody's truth is what they figure it is. They identify whether it's male or female by the way I feel about it. And that's the truth. It's like, yeah, remember this. The Bible just doesn't contain the truth. The Bible defines the truth. Because some people say, oh, it contains truth. That's not, no, it defines the truth. Otherwise, we will live just like old Israel. Everyone's going to do what is right in their own sight. It's like, nah, that's chaos and barbaric. So there's going to be things that you don't understand about the Bible, but wait, because there's going to be one thing that you do understand. Journal on that. See, some people say, well, why should I journal? I don't understand a lot of the Bible. Well, don't journal on the stuff you don't understand. Journal on the stuff you do. And start there. And when you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with... But if you're unfaithful with little, you'll be unfaithful. Why should God show you any more? So start with what you know. Start with what you got. Say, ah, I got that. But please read the Bible. Even though you only understand 10%, be faithful with the 10%. Next year, you'll get 20%, and then 30, and then 50, then 100. God starts opening your mind. You know, a lot of times there's Christians that we love to preach the gospel to other people, but we don't know enough of the Bible to preach it to ourselves. Because reading the Bible for a lot of Christians is rare. Even if you're a deacon in the church, sometimes reading the Bible is rare. There's a funny story. A pastor goes over to his deacon's house and his wife, and he's going to have dinner. And because it's a pastor coming, the wife goes, you know, I got to put out my best silverware. And so the deacon and his wife put on a very nice dinner with steak. And the pastor comes over and she's got the best silverware, best steak knives. Well, after the dinner was done, she's cleaning up and she noticed one of the steak knives or a very nice steak knives gone. She said to her husband, the pastor stole one of our steak knives. Can you believe that? Husband looks around and goes, no way, he did. There's a steak knife missing. She goes, that's it. I'm going to confront him. No, he said, no, don't confront him. It'll turn into a war. No, she said, I'm going to confront him. No, he said, no. So she waits 5, 6 months, 8 months. A year goes by. Finally, she could stand it no more. And she said, it's eating me up. I'm going to confront the pastor. So she walks up to him after a church service. And she said, Pastor, do you remember when you had dinner with us? He said, oh, yeah, about a year ago. He said, yeah. She said, you stole one of our knives, didn't you? He said, no, ma'am. I put it in your Bible. You see, sometimes we talk about the Bible, preach the Bible, tell everybody else about it, but we don't read it. And if we're going to be a people changing, we need to be a people who understand the Bible. There's some people who visit the Bible. There's other people who dwell in the Bible. Be dwellers of the Bible. So that brings us to our two points. So if you're reading the Bible and understanding how God created us, and we still have a lot to learn, a lot of assembly required, here's the first point, and that is this. It is as we are in Christ, remember, there are growth points. Growth points. To identify, what's the growth point in your life for this year? What are some of the areas that might be, some might be very glaring, some might be subtle, but you've got to identify the growth points. Well, I'm not very patient. There's a growth point. Well, I don't read the Bible. That's a growth point. Well, I get mad at people pretty easily. That's a growth point. What are some others that you can identify? Because if you don't identify them, you won't know what to do. You won't hear the Holy Spirit instructing you. And you have to understand, I've got to identify these things. Because remember, the character of Christ is only in you in potential form. You got to develop it. Just like baseball, if I want to play baseball, one of the things I have to do is what? Practice. If you're going to play football, you better practice. Yep. And if you're going to be someone who is like Christ, you better practice. There's stuff that I have to do that I have to intentionally check myself on. Patience or my disposition, my attitude. When I want to have a moody day, I said, no, I'm not going to have a moody day. I'm going to enjoy today. Remember, when you were born, when you came to Christ, you were a wreck. In fact, the Bible says this. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1:26. Would you read it with me? Go. Now remember what you were, my friends, when God called you. Read it nice and loudly. Go. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or high social standing. In other words, when God called us, we were wrecks. And we got a lot to go. And so don't stop now.
But that is where we're going to have to stop, at least for today's broadcast. But we'll pick it up right there at the same time tomorrow. It's a message entitled The Circle Around You by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a little sliver of what is in store for tomorrow.
Here's what I want to challenge you to do this year. Break through quitting points. Each time you do, you grow. Because you see, if before my quitting point in patience was a 4, like, that's it, I have no more patience for you, I say, no, wait a minute. If Jesus has patience for me when I mess up, how many times? Millions of times. If he's got more patience and I'm supposed to be more like Jesus, then I'm just going to break through that number 4. I'm not going to quit. Then what happens? You develop your character of patience, grace, perseverance, endurance. All of these things start to happen in your life.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. We leave you now with a song from the New Hope Singers, Psalm 40.
Turned to me and heard my cry.
He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire.
He set my feet on solid ground and stand.
Hymn of praise to our God.
Oh, 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 oh.
And he will see where he has done a day and days. They will put their trust in the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols.
Oh, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to live.
He's
giving me a new song to sing.
To recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them.
If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.